But what I'm going to mainly focus on is the public health information strategy. So Katie has said, the talk is about a population health work stream. So it's a little broader than public health per se. This is really sitting as one of the work streams that's being carried out under a national health IT plan that's currently underway. We're in the early phases of the population health work stream. So what I'm presenting today is really just the starting point. This is the outline of my talk. So a little bit about New Zealand and the health IT plan. A little bit about what actually we think of as population health and what that might look like in terms of an IT plan. Some discussion around those key areas, national systems, population registries, and the public health information strategy. A little bit on what the objectives of that strategy will be and some of the action areas. So first, something about the New Zealand health system. For those of you who are not familiar, it is a tax-funded universal hospital care system. We have 20 government-owned district health services, and they actually have elected representatives on their boards, and they're responsible for the population of the entire district in terms of provision of care. However, the primary care services are actually delivered by private providers, and there is a little bit of private provision of surgical services, usually using insurance funding, but it's really more of a gap insurance, so it's a way for people who don't want to wait on the waiting list for their surgery to get it done a little quicker. The primary care services are actually funded through a mix of fee-for-service and capitation funds. So that means people register with a particular provider and they receive a certain proportion of their funding just based on their numbers of people that they have on their roll. The injury services are actually funded totally separately through a universal worker insurance scheme. And public health itself is actually integrated with health services through the district health boards. So the local public health office will actually be one of the service delivery arms of the district health board. They tend to be aligned more with the planning and the planning function of the board rather than through the clinical services. Some of the environmental health services are, however, delivered through local government. Now, some of the reasons why I think that New Zealand is well placed to try and develop this strategy is because we do have a lot of key things already in place. We do have a single unique national identifier for all individuals. We have a population register, so everyone is registered with a particular provider, and those are aggregated up to a national level, and they're also linked to the national identity. We do have a hospitalizations data set from all of the public providers. We're not able to get that out from all the private providers, but there is a national minimum data set for all hospitalizations. There are maternity and newborn data sets, medical warnings, mental health, mortality, and there's a functional national immunization register that is actually integrated into the EHR and primary care. There's a cancer registry, national pharmaceuticals warehouse, and we have some surveys equivalent to the BRFSS. As I mentioned, the EHR is well adopted in primary care, and that was really incentivised in the mid-90s by the funders essentially paying for those EHRs to be put into place and providing a little stick as well on that. They basically said if you didn't start billing using the electronic billing system, we weren't going to pay you. So that was adopted early, and electronic billing as a result. Electronic laboratory reporting has also fed back through into that EHR. So that's already there, all in place. But what we are now embarking upon is a national health IT plan that at this stage it's in two phases, and the first phase is really about the continuum of care between primary and secondary, or between family practice and hospital care. Primary care is generally delivered by family practitioners, very little delivered by specialists. So what's going in place at the moment is development of an electronic referral system, an electronic discharge, essentially exchanging data between the two systems when a patient moves between those. There are some other activities going on around ensuring that if I move between providers that there is an electronic record that can move, and electronic prescribing is being developed so that I don't need to carry a piece of paper to my pharmacy anymore to get my drugs. And similar, some work going on in terms of medicines reconciliation within the hospitals. The next phase of that is really building four regional clinical data repositories. So these are going to contain laboratory reports, radiology, medications, and a summary of hospitalizations, so that if I go to anywhere, any other provider in the region, they'll have access to that. This is all in the first phase. So in the second phase, what's planned is to actually develop a shared care record where, in fact, a single plan is developed for a patient, particularly with chronic disease, but also for maternity care. And all of the providers involved in that patient's care will have access to that. There is also a plan to introduce a personal health record as part of that, but we're expecting, well, at least the National Health IT Board are not expecting a high uptake of that, at least initially. So what I'm going to talk about today is how can public health utilize this infrastructure and this development that's going on. And I want to talk a little bit about population health versus public health. We tend to think of population health as really being on a continuum between the care of the individual and the societal perspective. And so on the far right there, your left, we have the individual treatment services. Then we have something which is really about coordinating individual treatment, but it's still really for the treatment of an individual, but it's a coordinated effort amongst providers. Then we move on to, I guess, what you would call in this country clinical preventive services, which are really, they're aimed at the entire population, but they are a screening service and they're delivered through a clinical provider. Then we move into the classic public health investigation, follow-up, notifiable diseases, etc. And then I think maybe at the most extreme end of this continuum would be really the work that we do around advocacy, assessing the policies of other agencies, assessing the environmental effects. And so that is really at the other end of that continuum. And what I think our population health work stream is probably reflecting is the fact that actually there are epidemiological and public health principles applied actually all the way along that continuum. So even the delivery of clinical one-to-one clinical care, it is still based on a lot of evidence that's gathered using epidemiological methods. And there may be ways that we can actually enhance that and actually use the data that we're gathering as part of the electronic health record to start building those feedback loops and looking at outcomes. But obviously moving further along becomes more and more population focused. And we tend to deliver these services at the far end through hospitals and through primary care providers. And then maybe as we get more towards public health, we're delivering those services more through national and district population health providers, public health services. And there is this level in between, which is, we call it a district health board, which is really where there's someone saying, well, we're responsible for the health of all of these people and we're going to coordinate this activity. At the moment now, it looks like a lot of that coordination is now going to be aggregated up to a region. So because that allows more portability of people to move between places. And one thing we tend to forget is actually, the participation of individuals, their families, and their communities in all of this. And so that is actually also, I think, a vital part of a population health continuum. The population health workstream itself, as Katie mentioned, we have some national data collections already, but we're looking at standardising those, and we have a health standards organisation. There's a lot of rationalisation that needs to go on in terms of some of those. There's overlaps, and we're looking at ways of and trying to make them more efficient. Population registers, as I mentioned, we have a population register by default because everyone's enrolled in a practice, in a family practice, but that is also linked to the National Health Index. So, in terms of the registries, we're looking at trying to take the silo registries, such as the cancer registry, birth defects. What else have we got? There's not a national diabetes registry. There's an immunization registry. But essentially looking at those as being cohorts within the population overall, and looking at those as being separate functionalities really essentially linked to the total national health index or the national health registry. The information strategy I'll come back to in a moment. And finally, that one about looking at de-identified views of health to enable quality assessment, etiological analysis and outcome measurement really goes back to that question earlier on about building the infrastructure to actually be able to ask those questions. And I've just been at a very interesting presentation about what New York City is doing, some very interesting things along that line. So looking at the previous diagram, it's really about adding on these other functionalities that are really looking from the top down onto this information infrastructure. Screening, population health intelligence, which was really the part of the puzzle that's missing in terms of looking at this health data and planning and saying, where are the areas of need? How can we, if you like, change our health services to actually more reflect the need? So the information strategy itself for public health, what are the objectives? Well, we're looking at building on some notion of what a core health service, core public health actually is. And, you know, we haven't used the 10 essential services. There's been a slightly different version of that, but I think these ideas of what essential public health services are common around the world, and there's a number of different models. But essentially you have to start off with, well, what actually is public health? What are we actually doing? And then understand and design the common business processes. And, you know, we're looking at the common ground methodology that the Public Health Informatics Institute has used to do some of that collaborative requirements development. Really making sure that the, you know, this, and there is not a lot of money to be spent, and especially in a small country like New Zealand, that we are, you know, aligning our spending with the business needs. Clarifying the difference between performance monitoring, program evaluation, and producing knowledge for actually other people to use. And, you know, I think there's this struggle sometimes with public health where we're saying, well, actually our client, if you like, is the public. We're trying to actually improve the health of the public, and yet often the services that we're actually delivering, they can't possibly improve the health of the public because we're not the only actor. We have to be bringing on board other actors, you know, whether it's industry or local government. And so trying to work out, if we're trying to monitor our performance, how can we actually realistically monitor our performance in terms of delivering services that we know are effective, which if we're successful in building alliances may actually lead to health gain. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity there with these initiatives going on with the National Health IT Plan, such as the clinical data repositories, but we need to be making sure that we're actually able to access the data from the clinical data repositories to get the population level view. And that work is just starting. Another area I think that we don't think about very often in public health, but is actually the other domains, you know, the geographical data, the data from EPA, the data from social agencies, I don't know, maybe even retailers of food. You know, how are we going to access those data, and what are the interoperability requirements there in terms of how we interface between the health data and those other environmental determinants? And then document those system gaps and identify national requirements. And we're working on trying to actually develop a national requirements development process. This is just happens to be the five core health services that have been recently defined in New Zealand. It's interesting that they're a little different to the way they're defined over here, but I think they're essentially the same. So some of the issues and opportunities. Well, I think one of the struggles we have is that public health is both a provider of information products and a consumer of information services. And by that I mean we produce a lot of reports, surveillance reports, analyses, investigation reports, and we put those out there in the hope that they will be used by other people. But we're also a huge consumer of information. A lot of the information we come from is secondary use of health services data. And so when you're thinking about an information strategy, you have to keep thinking about both those sides of the equation. Then, you know, population level views of record level and counter data. Record level and counter based data are becoming increasingly available, and I'm hearing, you know, with the meaningful use incentives going on here, that that's going to be happening here as well. There are a number of issues around using those. Integration of public health information products into the decision, clinical decision making is another option, another area where we can actually start feeding back the epidemiological data into the clinical work face so that the clinician is actually able to be better informed. Privacy, protection, and risk factor attribution. Well, this is the age-old problem, of particularly with environmental health, but other areas where we really want to have the information about potential exposure, location, except that some of that is potentially identifying. And so how do we actually get those, if you like, risk factors or environmental determinants loaded onto the clinical data in such a way that doesn't identify the patient? I've already talked about service performance versus population outcome. And I guess finally, you know, what is the role of participatory technology? And, you know, we talk about crowdsourced information versus expert information. You know, what is the role of knowledge certification? Is there a need for public health to verify certain sources? So some of the issues, some of the systems that we already have in place, we already have a national web-based surveillance system, and that also includes reporting from laboratories. Most of the laboratories in the country do feed into that system. It's a geocoded system, so we're able to link those data to various environmental data, as well as to a small area levels SES measure. There is some limited EHR-based reporting around influenza-like illness. There's a registry of community drinking water supplies. There's a food safety system. We have a number of reporting portals already that do produce epidemiological reports. And we have a collaboration workspace recently started, which enables all of the local public health services in the country to essentially build a knowledge base and a discussion board for issues, which is turning out to be a very powerful tool. As I was mentioning already, there are a number of other information domains. So we have a five-yearly census, which is helpful, rather than a 10-yearly one. The small area socioeconomic status measure essentially is a compound measure of deprivation, and it turns out to be very useful in predicting health outcome. Some environmental reporting, animal health, etc. The local public health services, I've already mentioned, they're actually linked organisationally to hospitals, but they have quite different business needs to a local hospital, and that does cause a problem. So often the local public health service is utilising the enterprise-level information and infrastructure, but then there have been a number of essentially vertical reporting systems put in place for national-level reporting. And so at the local level, you end up with quite a mishmash of information systems, and that's sort of illustrated here. This is one local public health office. Each of these squares was a different information system when we did an inventory of them. Some of them were national systems, some of them were Excel spreadsheets, some of them were Access databases, you know, sometimes linked to each other. So the challenge here is really, how do we rationalise this mess? Because when you look at the task flows, this was just for a communicable disease information system within one office. These were all the different task flows for the information analysts, linking data between all these various systems. It's kind of a nightmare. This is just a close-up on one of those things. So here we have that EPI server. That's the name of the National Communicable Disease System. But there were all these clip-on databases, which are essentially trying to do functions that the national system doesn't do because it's not designed to do it. But there hasn't been a process for developing a collaborative requirements for a system that could actually be used in all the offices. So what has happened over the years is there's been these systems built. One does a little report here, one does a little report there. One does a little bit of case management. And so we're slowly working through how we rationalize this and how do we deal with the fact that, you know, each of these services is in a different organization with different enterprise systems as well. So one of the action areas has been a communicable disease surveillance review, and that was a national level review looking at all of the different systems and trying to rationalize them. National Public Health Performance Assessment Monitoring Framework, so trying to get a common reporting framework from all of the local public health services. As I mentioned, requirements development process, public health information standards around data and messaging, and then collaboration and knowledge management. I've already mentioned we've got a knowledge management tool up and running, and ultimately trying to look at utilising some of where there's been innovation in some of the different larger centres, maybe trying to build on that and actually share those systems across the different services. This is just, I think, to illustrate a change in view, essentially, where we've gone previously from a data collection focus, you know, data collection through to analysis, reporting, and finally action. Switching that around to identifying what the public health actions actually are that we want to try and achieve and who are the partners that we actually want to work with, and then switching it around saying, well, what would be the information products that we would actually need to help us do that, and what would we need to do in terms of analysis to actually populate those products, and finally, what kind of data collection would we need to actually collect to actually be able to produce those products. So it's switching that mentality around a little bit and trying to say, you know, what is the purpose? Most of you will be familiar with Public Health Informatics Institute's Common Ground methodology. I think there's a lot to be gained from that. And some of these slides were about a review we did around our submissions. We do a lot of advocacy to local government and to central government around policies. And this was just an internal process, and unfortunately the fonts didn't come through on this presentation, so they're not going to be readable. But this is a task flow. We just looked at redesigning a task flow and coming up with a new one. And this is not showing up at all, so unfortunately. But jumping through to the key point here was around collaborative development and looking at local operational platforms. So we already have in place something called Healthscape, and it's essentially a place-based public health activity planning tool. Essentially, the users identify all the key organisations and places where activities in public health take place, and it's used to record all the activities so that if we have a public health nurse and an environmental health officer all going to the same place, they actually now know about each other. They know that they're all going there. It's been useful for things like we do a lot of work in enforcement of legislation around the sale of tobacco, say, to minors, and we can actually use this tool to start targeting some of that enforcement activity so that it's actually targeted to areas which are at more risk, say, where they're near to schools. Then in another centre, we have a reportable conditions case management system that is really trying to essentially provide an information tool for the management of complex communicable diseases like TB. And so we're essentially trying to utilise some of these innovations at a national level. And that's the end of my presentation.
Great. Thank you. We have about 5 minutes for Q&A, and just a heads up for you. It looks like we'll be going a little bit over the 5 o'clock mark, so you can prepare yourselves accordingly. But let's take 5 minutes of questions now for Dr. Jones. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks a lot for coming from New Zealand and sharing all that. Since you have, my question's about privacy. Because the healthcare system typically knows how to handle privacy. The minute you integrate public health and healthcare and potentially make all the healthcare data available to public health, you start violating the minimal need to know principle, ethical principles.
Thank you. The question was about privacy, and that's an interesting one. I must admit, when the National Health IT Plan came out, and there was this, you know, this plan to build this clinical data repository, I immediately thought, well, hang on, people aren't giving their consent for this data to be put into this repository. And there has been a lot of discussion around that. There's been a lot of public consultation as well. And we've ended up with an opt-out situation. So you can say, I don't want my data to go up there. We're not far enough along yet to know how many people are going to do that. But I think most people seem to say, well, I want it to be there because if I go to that hospital over there, I want them to be able to access my records. So there seems to be enough positive for people to think, you know, that they will actually want it to be there. But I think what we will find is that there are certain sensitive clinical information that they won't want to be there. I mean, if they've had a termination of pregnancy, they probably don't want everyone to have access to that information. So what we may do is maybe there will be areas that will just be deemed to be too sensitive and will not be included.
Anybody else?
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about, you know, population health, but part of our responsibility of government is also to set continuous quality improvement. So, I mean, I think it's been missing here where we talk a lot about indicators, but it's also our responsibility to, as public health officials, to actually say an HIV test or hepatitis C is a standard of care. And are you receiving that as a community? And that's not an individual thing, it's a system. So you can go back to the system and say, only 40% of your clients are doing X, and it's required by law or required as a health standard. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Yeah, we have a thing called a clinical guidelines group who really do develop these clinical pathways and standards of care. There's also recently been established a healthcare quality commission who are really focusing in on that. But I agree with you that the potential is there for utilizing this as a tool for reinforcing that quality improvement. And actually, there are some interesting tools that are being developed to do just that. There's been a lot of work done, say, around the management of diabetes. And there's a tool in New Zealand being developed called Doctor Info that sits on top of the EHR. And it can be utilized to query the EHRs and actually bring back some statistics around the proportion of patients who've had the required number of checks and who essentially at each step of that clinical pathway.
Anything else?